Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan getting out.
Advance the runner, Gee whiz.
Let's go, Jan.
We good now, Pasta? All right.
You know what beat this is? Black Republicans, Jay-Z and Nas.
Well, you are on cloud nine right now.
Don't tell the people, because I love my job.
I know.
That's
all I was going to say.
Pasta, Carter, the Fantastic Four, which you seen, by the way, huh?
Yeah, I did.
Little great. That's not good if you got to think about it like that.
B plus. All right. I thought it was pretty good.
I'm going to check it out this weekend.
B plus. I thought it was solid. A little bit better than Superman, which you didn't like.
Either did Francesca. Dude, he went on a 20-minute.
Oh, who cares?
And who's this dog? Super dog.
I'm sorry, but I cannot.
I can't stop listening.
I can't have Francesca be giving movie reviews, especially on ones from 2020. As a talking dog. They got a talking dog that comes in
to
say Superman.
I listen to every word. It's not just me. Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. Oh, you know who's going to be the crypto? Well, that's actually, I don't want to go there. But the person who is, I think, going to save the 49ers season, it's becoming clear. Go.
Give me a second. Who's going to save the 49ers? It's Saleh.
It's Robert Saleh. He is the guy that is going to save their season. I feel the most confident in saying that he is their biggest offseason acquisition.
Damn, E.
It's not close. And it's because I do think that he has, number one, Kyle Shanahan's trust. Number two, the experience of going through multiple of these situations. He's had young guys that he's turned from 2018 to 2019 into a Super Bowl caliber defense. He's gone to New York, where even though the team itself was not great, that was mostly because he couldn't get much out of his offense. Yeah. His defenses were competitive.
Be quiet.
They were talented. And now with the Niners, they have a lot of pressure on them to get the most out of this particular rookie class, or I would say just a young core of defensive players. And I don't think there's anybody better equipped to do that job.
Man, Evan, you know what? I love that. You got me fired up just about Saleh. And I got to say this. Regardless if you like it or not, you're in my life. Not just because you're my coworker, you're my friend and brother. But what I do love about you, Evan, if people don't tell you enough, I know your mom did this morning, she left you, and I do too. But the bottom line is I believe you are fair and you're balanced. I've seen you take a stand, and then with more information, you'll be like, you know what, Goo? I see it this way now, and I appreciate that because that represents realness. So I say all that to say is you're giving, it feels like, the benefit of the doubt to Robert Saleh and what he's done, and you think they're back. I'm not being negative, but my question to that is, if we do see the first four or five games of a Niner defense that might mirror last year's defense, or they're kind of lacking and maybe the rookies are struggling, my question to you is, how do you divvy up? Will you double back and be like, Goo, I'm not disappointed, but it didn't hit like I thought? Because you're giving him his flowers now, and I'm just wondering, as you watch and we move down this season, if it's not all peaches and cream, what will Evan get? Will you double back and be like, hey, he didn't have the impact, or he doesn't have the horses, because I know it's not him. When he has the horses, he's proven. Or will you be some Niner fans like, man, I expected more from this unit because of Saleh, regardless we got a bunch of these youngsters?
Well, I think it all falls at the feet of the head coach. I mean, to me, like if they're not able to get, again, a top 5 or 10 defense out of this group, would I be disappointed? Yes. But also they have, like, they're replacing 5 different positions, and we're going to hear about them in just a little bit from someone who's been at training camp, Jennifer Lee Chan, who was on with the Morning Roast. But off-ball linebacker is a position.
Man.
Defensive tackle is a position. Even though D-end is going to be filled by Mykel Williams, like, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
Your third corner, potentially your second corner if a guy's down, both of your safeties. There's a lot that they have to work on and that they're going to have to figure out relatively fast. So as far as I don't know if it's a built-in excuse. What I do not want, and I think that I'm hoping that this is the case because of the equity that he's built within the Niners organization as a respected play caller on the defensive side of the football. I hope that for the first time in 3 years, that the DC's not the fall guy.
Damn.
That the DC does not get scapegoated.
Yeah,
because
no
I think Robert Saleh, number one, wouldn't have took the job if he thought that was the case.
Because Wilkes was the goat.
Wilkes was a scapegoat.
Bah.
Last year, Sorensen, he didn't do a good job, but he was a scapegoat. If this team does not succeed this year, I do not want all fingers being pointed at the defensive coordinator. I would like some to be pointed at the head coach, because it feels like, even though we all recognize how good of a head coach Kyle Shanahan is, that it's never ultimately on him. Like, it's on him in the biggest game, but last year it was, well, it's because of injuries. The DC was a joke. The special teams coordinator didn't do a good job. I'm sorry. The head coach, just like we're talking about holding Melvin accountable.
And you did say that. That's where I was going.
And again, I don't think it's out of the question that if the Giants go off the rails, that Melvin isn't back next year. I'm just saying, to me, I like having Robert Saleh back as DC. Again, I think he's their biggest offseason acquisition. But it cannot be at the end of this year if this defense doesn't play well. Well, it's because of the defense and Saleh.
Mm.
Like that, I'm sorry. I'm not going
to
want to hear that.
All right, let me read this to you and see if you want to hear this. This is from our guy down south in San Jose, Austin. Evan, cannot be about Saleh. It's the damn players who have to get it done.
Well, yes, obviously. But again, I think that he's the proper person to put in that place to help a lot of different known parts. And again, that's why it's like he has five different new starters on that side of the football. And yes, he will have worked with Warner before and Bosa before. But even someone as talented as Diamondour and Lenore, he's never called plays for before.
Yeah, man.
He's been complimentary of him, but it is going to take a little bit of time. And that's why I'm not going to be pointing all fingers at him for not suddenly rectifying a situation that last year left me wanting more.
How good do you think this team can be?
The Niners?
Yeah. Would you be more shocked if they won the division or missed the playoffs? I'm in the middle.
Yeah, so am I. That's a really good question.
And it's exciting at the same time. And I know Niner felt like it ain't exciting if we don't win the division, but E, that's 6-11. I still can't tell you definitively what I lost in or what the Niners lost. And people are gonna be like, who cares, fat mouth? But what the Niners lost for me in regard to confidence. I know Purdy wasn't Purdy from the first couple years. It wasn't all his fault. There was no McCaffrey. But, Evan, there's so many damn question marks.
There are a lot of question marks, and I think it's because of last season. Anytime you go 6-11 and miss the playoffs, especially when you're expected to challenge for a Super Bowl, you got to question everything. I mean,
damn.
And I don't know if the Niners are, because that's probably not the way you can operate. But as fans, I think it's completely fair to wonder what we're going to get this year. I think it could be a wide range of things. I don't think they'd go 6-11, but if they get hit by injuries again, yeah, that's in the cards. I also don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that with a softer schedule and some injury health, or some injury luck in a good way.
Right.
Yeah, this team could win 11 or 12 games.
It's going to be weird. This will be the first season in forever that no Debo in the beatbox is coming out. Like, that guy's gone, Evan. Ayuk is not going to be there week one in Seattle. Like, that was part of your DNA and who you were. Just from the mental compost standpoint of it all. You still got Trent.
Well, to answer your question, though, I think I would be more surprised if I think the Rams are going to be really good this year.
They were really good to me last year.
So I would be surprised if the Niners took that big of a step. Right. But again, missing the playoffs in the NFC could mean going 8-9.
Oh man.
You know, I think that 9 or 10 wins might be good enough to sneak them in as a wild card. Because it's a top heavy conference, but beyond, I mean, look, Philadelphia, you obviously got Detroit, L.A., Washington, Green Bay.
I'm showing love some love.
Minnesota, maybe.
Yeah, well, we got to see J.J., the youngster, the rookie back there, the quarterback, because he's got big shoes to fill in regard to what they did last year. And what about Penix in Atlanta?
Well, that division's wide open. Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay is going to win that division.
What about Chicago? I think they're going to be better. Caleb?
Chicago could take a step, but are they going to take a playoff leap? I don't know. I mean, I think the Niners, to me...
Well, that's the question for them.
You know, I think they are right now, to me, that one of the... They're a top six team in the NFC, but I think they could prove that they're back in the top three or top
right.
two.
No, I'm
but
with
I
you.
Could also see them being, again, a team that flounders like they did last season. I mean, who's we don't Evan, know where this thing is going.
No doubt, man.
And I think this season's going to be revealing a lot about what the next direction of the franchise is.
Yeah, and I share with you and you all my imperfections. And Evan, I'm telling you, last year's 6-11 campaign for the Niners, I rode it till the wheels fell off. Even that Sunday night game against Buffalo in the snow, I just kept thinking, just like the Giants. So, Evan, I'm talking to myself out loud. When am I personally going to learn? But, Evan, I kept thinking each week for the Niners, as you know, they didn't demonstrate they were playing at their best. They weren't healthy. I just gave them what they earned, and the Giants really haven't, the benefit of the doubt. But to watch that season spiral the way that it did, like, I'm still shocked, Evan, that the Niners didn't get back on the horse. But you are right. A big part of that was injuries.
Well, injuries, Super Bowl hangover. I mean, that team was just at its end. Like, that core had to be broken up. But there was something that, again, I wanted to glean from this Saleh quote. And I also wanted to mention, so this was in The Athletic. Charvarius Ward was interviewed by Mike Silver.
Okay.
And there was something that I thought was kind of interesting about, it is in reference to Kyle Shanahan. But again, here's that quote that I was talking about earlier, where Robert Saleh, I think, he told me a lot while saying a little.
I always tell the story back in 2019. If you guys remember that defense was pretty damn good, and we had that Halloween game against Arizona on Thursday Night Football, and it was the first time we were playing Kyler Murray. And I feel like I personally take responsibility. I put an enormous amount of pressure on Fred in that game to make sure that we were in the right call. And I did not do him a disservice because he was thinking the whole game and not playing. And so the learning experience for me, it's not about the call. It's not being in the right call. It's about making sure that the players can go fast as heck. And you know, so Fred was kind of that trigger where they all have a breaking point. Doesn't matter. And Fred is, I mean, he's like a computer smart, you know, and it's but at the same time, they still got to be able to do it within 20 seconds of getting a call and being able to react and play fast. So you're always trying to learn your players, and you're always cognizant of what that ceiling is, because you never want to sacrifice their ability to play fast just for the sake of being a guru as a play caller.
Wow.
I hear someone that he's concerned with how to motivate his team. And actually, I think that to me is the quality that last year's team didn't have was motivation. And I think that's what Robert Saleh represents to me. And I know it may not sound like X's and O's or this or that, but to me, I do think that last year's team, they were not motivated.
And Manti Te'o said it in the preseason.
They lost their motivation, man, when they lost in the Super Bowl. Man. And in the offseason, were more concerned with getting paid than trying to bounce back.
But, Evan, with that, I just got to double back because I disagree on the premise of they tried. Those guys in red and gold last year tried, regardless of who tried to get their chicken in the offseason. So you're not saying that. But when you say a hangover, I just feel like a hangover is for the winners. And we watch the Chiefs, even on good and bad days, as much as they've done it and try to get back, you know, they're the ones that could say we had a hangover. But you're not there saying that the Niners didn't try last year. Evan, I saw a team that tried, and I saw a team that got injured. I just want you to judge this take from me. Why do I feel like Robert Saleh was saying, I'm not afraid to dumb it down for some of my guys? And I know that has a negative connotation, but it doesn't. We're talking sports. I feel like it makes concepts and things, principles easier. And I wish some other coaches in the Bay Area would take heed to that. Like, I don't think we'd ever hear Kyle say something like that. Am I wrong for kind of paraphrasing and saying, I'm not afraid to dumb it down so guys can still play and think fast?
He says it in his own way. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. an Odyssey Sports station and home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live in the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco, getting in for Steinmetz with Guru. I think Kyle does it in a, he does it in a way that it almost, he almost takes ownership of it. I feel like Salah is somebody that when he talks, he gives credit first and foremost to the player. And again, at the very end, he's talking about what can I do that allows my player to play naturally and fast, as opposed to wanting to be a guru play caller. And I get the sense that sometimes he may not be intending to do it, but it's just like, I'm just reading his actions. Shanahan sometimes wants to be the guru. He wants to be Daryl Johnson. He wants to be the guru. And it's not always about that.
Mm.
A defense and offense, I'm sure, are different, but the principle is the same. You want your guys to play in as close to a flow state as possible. And that's where the motivation aspect comes in for me, is Robert Saleh, I think, is able to motivate whoever he works with. He doesn't work with the offense, but he sure as hell works with the defense, and that's what I think we're going to see this year, a much more motivated defense.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm here for it. We got our popcorn ready, and we'll see. And man, Evan, I'm just, you got me up here thinking, man, like, would Kyle ever or Steve Kerr say that? Because I think about Kuminga. I know it's different sports, but I never thought they tried to dumb it down or make it, I'm going to quit using that, or make it easier for him to adapt and maybe quit thinking because he was slow in getting some of the principles and concepts. I think that's a big part of stuff.
Yes, I'm with you. I think that's fair. But dumbing it down for, or simplifying things on offense for, say, someone like Kuminga comes directly at the expense of everything that makes your offense great with someone like Steph. So I do think that that's the dilemma, is who you're prioritizing. Are you prioritizing, and that's, again, why I think that some of the younger players have struggled to develop into or blossom, whatever you want to say, in Kerr's system. It's because they're not the focus. Steph Curry's the focus.
But what if I said, shit, what about the team should be the focus too?
But Steph is the team. I mean, that's what everybody says.
Hey, I ain't mad at that.
I mean, if we're not trying to amplify and get the best out of our best player, then what are we doing? You know, I know that there's frustration on that front, but that's where I think that, you know, why I can understand the frustration about Kerr with JK, but to me, and we're going to play some sound in a bit that I kind of take umbrage with, but that's why it's somewhat of a moot point for me.
How you feel. It is interesting, and now I'm serious, man. I didn't know what to think about the reacquisition of Saleh, but Evan, I got to put respect on what he's done when he was here on the first tour. But I will say, you know, the great Jimmy Johnson, the coach of Miami and the Dallas Cowboys, always said you can't win the race if you don't have the horses. And I know you got Bosa and Warner and the guys that you mentioned, but I'm eager to see how – I don't want to say how he piecemeals it, but there's a lot of youth, especially on the defense, that's going to be counted on, good or bad.
But and then this also brings in the Charvarius Ward words.
Okay.
So he's on the Colts now. Signed, I think, a 3-for-60 deal with Indianapolis. And he talked to Mike Silver earlier this week at training camp. So, right now, All-Pro 2023, Charvarius Ward. And much like a lot of people, and this is how I know that not everybody on that team could have been motivated. And I do think, even though we talked about it ad nauseum, I will go to the grave believing that some of those contract disputes, they had lingering effects on last season. There was a residue left from McCaffrey, from Williams, and from Ayuk. And you know how I know it? Because Charvarius Ward told Mike Silver that earlier this week in the article that came out today. Quote, "I was hurt when I realized I wasn't getting a contract extension or even an offer for an extension. So I wasn't motivated. Like from OTAs all the way through camp, I was kind of pissed off. I knew when the season started, it was a wrap for me in the Bay." I think a lot of players felt that way. Look at how many guys they got rid of this offseason. They traded Debo. They didn't bring Hufanga back. They didn't bring Greenlaw back. They didn't bring Ward back. They cut Hargrave. All of these guys knew that there was a timeline to their career and their time in San Francisco. So you can't tell me that they were all your best players, or a lot of guys who were supposed to be your best players, were not motivated last year.
But Evan, but I'll say this. Your play is your resume, and I get him opening up, and one could say it's sour grapes, but if you talk about the genesis of his statement, yeah, he was mad because they told him they didn't want him. But my point is I never watched him play last year, and you correct me if I'm wrong, he never quit. He never quit, and that's why he's got a new team, because had he, Evan, I don't think the Colts would have been interested in him. But no, there's something there, but he didn't say I went out there and half-assed. That's not why they were 6-11.
No, but I think when a lot of people aren't bought in, that's what happens. And a lot of those games, Goo, because we were talking about them every Monday. I remember you and Steiny going at it. Well, what happened on that final drive? Well, it was a missed kick here. It was a drop play. Ronnie Bell on line one. He catches that ball. They beat the Rams.
In L.A.
It was a miss punt return, miscommunication on coverage. All of those details happen when not everyone is aligned. And that's what I'm gleaning from these comments. Now, to your point, Ward also went on to say that around the Cowboys game is when he decided to kick it into gear.
Okay, yeah, right.
And unfortunately, that's when his child passed away, and then it became very difficult for him to play at his best. But what I'm talking about is before all the tragedy befell him last season. I'm talking about in the summer. He was pissed off that he didn't get the money that he wanted because he wanted to stay in San Francisco, and he balled his ass out in 2023, just like a lot of people did to help them get to the precipice of a Super Bowl. But not everybody could get paid because they had to make room for Purdy. They had to make room for Trent. They had to make room for McCaffrey and Ayuk. They decided that those were the guys that they were going to keep, eventually now extending extensions to Warner and Kittle. That meant that other guys were not going to get a slice of the pie. And I'm just, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to dismiss that that's what led and bled into last season.
Man, it's interesting. And like I said, Evan, I'll say this and I'll stand on it. You know, he didn't dog it, but he's sharing, you know, what matters most sometimes in life often is emotion and what's in his heart. And I appreciate you sharing that about the Dallas game is when he kind of got past it. But, you know, I do wonder, Evan, I'm being real, if we were to put the autopsy of his particular season, you know, on the table, had he gotten paid, would his play have looked any different? He shared with us his mentals. And you could be like, "Ooh, come on, put it together. Mentals, you're going to get a better performance on the field." But I'm just wondering. But I'm not mad at the honesty. But, Evan, isn't that – not that it takes away from your point or this story, but isn't that the par for the course in sports nowadays? Like, you know, Andrew Wiggins got his contract, and so did Jordan Poole after they won in 2022, and then we find out Dre and Clay are pissed off. Like, you know, Dre and Clay didn't – we didn't even know that till after the fact, but I'm just thinking to myself, they never loafed, I guess, Dre and Clay, and then we find out years later that they were lightweight irritated.
Yeah, but I think that's just the modern athlete. Like, there's so much money on the line for these guys, and I think they also view it as a pride thing. Like, the money is what I'm worth as a player. You know, and Charvarius Ward, like, he also talks about how he understood the decisions they had to make. Effectively, they chose D'Amador Lenore over him. They gave him 5-for-92 this offseason, or during the middle of last season. But then he knew that my time was up.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is I can understand why it'd be difficult to come into work every day and give everything that you have, knowing that the place you want to be doesn't want you back. That's all I'm saying.
No, that hurts. I get it. I do get it.
You know, but again, I think they got a brand new slate this year. And there's also something more I want to dig into a little bit with what Charvarius Ward told Mike Silver of The Athletic about what happened last offseason that might have people feeling better about this year. What was removed from last season that the Niners now have an opportunity to make a clean slate out of? 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. All right, what's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We're back after this.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Goo. We're off to a rip-roaring start.
Yeah.
There was something during the break that I wanted to...
I talked so much, even during break, I think I interrupt you then, so you forgot.
Well,
or the chair's rubbing off on you. Yeah, shout out Steiny. My
true.
Man.
Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow.
Let's get nuts.
Still feeling a little bit under the weather.
You're worthless.
Thanks, Steiny. Although, I'll leave him out of this. No, so we talk about a lot in the 6 minutes, and there was something. Oh, you brought up. Okay, so we're talking about how.
No, don't talk about that. Oh, okay.
The money might have impacted the Niners season a year ago. And Charvarius Ward, former 49er cornerback, now with the Colts.
C-Dub.
Told Mike Silver that he wasn't motivated last year after coming off a run to the Super Bowl. He had a second-team All-Pro season, wanted a contract extension, understood why.
Okay.
Shanahan and Lynch and everyone in the Niners front office said, we can't give you the money you want. And in fact, didn't even offer him an extension. It wasn't like, there was just no negotiation. Like, we're not bringing you back after 2024.
Oh, man.
Your time here is up. So Ward said, I wasn't motivated. Even before the tragedy happened off the field, he was not feeling 100% and wasn't motivated. All I'm saying is that I can completely understand, number one, why that's the case. And number two, why that would negatively impact your season, combined with everything else that happened.
What about your, and I get you, Evan, I think that's
a lot of people felt.
Or what about effort? Like, I don't think he loafed or quit, and I'm wondering, do you think his effort was any different or less because of that? I'm giving him credit or the benefit of the doubt, and I know that, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, everybody's not perfect, but I almost am giving him love for having that, and he, rightfully so, he was irritated, but still went out there to be a pro. I don't think his effort was half-ass.
I don't no, I believe he was trying. Oh. But again, it's
just hard. You're talking about the mental warfare, knowing you are not wanted. And
to
watching
me,
other guys get
it
paid.
It applies to everything. Again, I asked you this during the break, and I'm not asking you to reveal everything. And if you want, you can. But if in a hypothetical world the boss comes to us and says, hey, look, we're gonna give the contract to this host, which means we don't have enough money to bring you back after your contract.
Oh.
You got 6 months,
oh,
and then you're going to have to find a new locale. We love you, but these are the decisions that we have to make. I believe that you would come in and you would still work hard every day. You wouldn't let people know that this was the case, but you can't tell me that that wouldn't impact your motivation to come into work every single day. And if it doesn't, then you're a better man than most.
And I'm going to say this, Evan. Wow, now it's getting real in the field. I'm being so real with you, Evan. If that ever were to happen, which would be a nightmare and I would miss you all, I got to be honest, Evan. I would pack my stuff and go get on the I couldn't make it that 6 months. You could be like, Guru, you need the chicken in the chest. I couldn't make it the 6 months mentally knowing that it was going to be a wrap. So I would bow out. I'm one of those dudes, everyone said, I got to talk to you after. No, you got to tell me now because I can't focus until I need to find out what you want to speak to me about. So something that hefty, I know you're looking at me like, come on, Goo. I honestly would be like, hey, let's just do it now. Because I couldn't be Ward, I guess. And you said something, there is no elevator for these pro athletes.
Oh, there is. There is. You can just walk off the job in football. You know what? You know who did that last year? Devondre Campbell. Devondre Campbell walked to the elevator
Nothing
mid-game.
Nothing good came of that, though. He
exactly.
was throwing his career away.
He did throw his career away. And I would never want him on a football team associated with my fandom ever again because he walked out on his team. But that's my point. Guys in those positions still have to show up every single day. They can't take a severance package. They could say, trade me. They could say, give me. But then they're losing their livelihood. That's going to cost them down the line. In fact, the way Charvarius Ward played it, even though he wasn't 100% motivated, in his own words, meant that he's still able to get another contract with the Indianapolis Colts. Just not the one that he wanted. That's all I'm saying. And so for people to look at these athletes and say, well, you're paid millions of dollars, why don't you just show up? Because even if you're showing up, your heart isn't 100% into it. That's what I believe. And that's one of the reasons why all the contracts that were handed out last offseason and the amount of money the Niners had to bank for this summer to pay their quarterback and their tight end and their linebacker, that had a residual effect on the rest of the guys who weren't getting paid.
It's a cold business, E, but I'm...
Hufanga, Debo, Ward, all of those cats.
No, this is... Man, I get it, but I guess I just want to double back and park the car right here, Evan. Do you think had he got paid, we would have saw a better version of Ward? I don't.
Like now, I 100% believe we would have got a better... If he was under lock and key... I do think that Charvarius Ward would have played better last year.
I don't think they would have had him out there. Like that's how it's almost a compliment from the Niners.
Assuming, of course, that what happened to his child hadn't happened. That obviously impacted his season.
Good point.
We can't talk about that. I mean, that's...
I'm with you. But, man, Evan, it's cutthroat, and I got to give him more kudos. He didn't mention one name or contract that he felt like, if he felt like the guy wasn't worthy that took his bread or whatnot, but man, I'm not going to sit up here in front like that wasn't a lot on your dome.
Well, and that's where the nuance is. I don't believe that Charvarius Ward holds a grudge against D'Amador Lenore.
Trent.
Or any of his teammates.
McCaffrey.
But again, and these are his own words. Like, he felt some type of way when he put out an all-pro season, was one of the best cover corners in football, was a big reason why they got to a Super Bowl in 2023, played his ass off, and the Niners didn't even offer him a contract. It wasn't as if there were negotiations and they couldn't come to terms. He was not even offered a deal because they explained he wasn't in their future plans.
So now you got me, and I love you bringing this up. You just tell me where we're at with this said player. So I get what you're saying. He was told that it basically was over. So if you're Juwan Jennings and you haven't formally requested a trade, you're out at practice, you're dealing with, what was it, the hammy or
calf.
The new calf?
Calf, yeah.
How are you feeling, Evan, about just showing up to practice or letting this thing play out? Are you irritated? Are you slightly irritated? Nothing to see here. You guys are talking to my agent. I'll be good to go. But now you got me thinking, I know it's a different situation, but dude wants to get his new bread.
No, and I think he's going to. I think that's why he's out there. I think that the Niners and Juwan Jennings are eventually going to come to terms on a contract. However, to me, this would be the equivalent of the Ward situation we're talking about. And again, this was in an Athletic article written by Mike Silver, where he spoke to Charvarius Ward at Indianapolis Colts training camp about what happened last season and how the contracts the Niners divvied out and were preparing to pay impacted his financial standing and why he wasn't completely motivated going into last season. It would be like if the Niners, and they did, paid Brandon Ayuk, and they said, hey, Juwan, there's no money for you. That, I think, would impact his standing with the team, or his motivation. Because, again, he's not holding it against Ayuk. And, in fact, he might even understand why the Niners are making their decision. But if Juwan Jennings was entering the final year of his contract this year, and they said, hey, Juwan, we're not going to be able to retain you beyond this season. We need you to play hard. We need you to work your ass off, and you'll fall on your feet somewhere else.
Mm.
Again, I know there's incentive to continue to play hard. You're playing for your next deal. But you can't tell me that that wouldn't impact how motivated you are. I think that we might see the best of Juwan Jennings this year.
Mm.
Because he's worked his ass off to get what eventually he wants.
I could hear Steiny's
voice,
from
the team
though.
That he wants.
Yeah, no, you're right, Evan, but I could hear the other side of that. Not saying it's bad, but Steiny, and he didn't come up with or coin the phrase, oh, that player got off because it was a contract year.
That's true. You know, that's a good point.
I get it.
Well, and this is from the 650 of the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. If I were Charvarius Ward, mentally I'd be playing for the next contract. Don't get hurt and don't let my game slip too much.
And he did.
He did play well. But again, it took him some time to get over the hurt.
Right, no doubt. And that's what we're talking about.
You know, like contract years are a real thing. But it's one thing to be in a contract year and be playing for a big bag. It's another thing to know that you just played your ass off, played your best year, wanted to get a contract extension, and they said, no.
Yeah, wow.
Like, Juwan Jennings just had his best year. There's no guarantee that Juwan Jennings is going to have his best season this upcoming year. That's why he wants he wants a contract
in.
Now.
No doubt about it.
Same thing with Brock Purdy. That's why quarterbacks don't often play on the last year of their deals, because you want to get paid for what you've done, not be judged on a potential bad season. You know, the idea, and that's what the whole issue that I have kind of with some of the stuff in the Kuminga debacle.
Oh, man,
the Kuminga saga is
going to bring him up.
Like, yeah, betting on yourself in a perfect world sounds great, but that can go disastrously wrong. You know, you can't bet on yourself, but that's the whole point of gambling. You can lose.
But you can't have you can lose, Evan. You're right.
I've done it a lot.
Yeah, well, you and me both, but you can't lose in regard to your role and your false sense of self-worth if you have some of that. And when that goes over and trickles down into the money, if Kuminga thinks he's worth 30 or 35, allegedly, Evan, then somebody to call me. That's where you're going wrong. And if this 2 for $40 has actually been reported from the Warriors, Evan, I think that's more than fair. But if he thinks, one, I'm PO'd about my role, and then I'm worth 30 or 35, that's when you're on another farm, man, of unrealistic.
Well, that's why I think he wants to get out of here. Well, the latest nugget was from Mark Stein, which came down last night in the Stein line, which is Jonathan Kuminga has not been offered anything more substantial than a 2-year, $40 million deal. It sounds like you think that's pretty fair.
I do, man. And this coming from a guy that wants them to stay here. But you're right, Evan, if you kind of said it or alluded to it, the things that I'm reading and hearing from him, he wants to get up out of Dodge. But my question then, why hasn't he? And if the team were really over him, like some people think, I'm just asking, then why hasn't something been done?
Why hasn't it been done? Because it doesn't have to be done. If and this, by the way, doesn't just apply to JK. Josh Giddey, it's reported he wants $30 million a year.
Cam
Thomas with the Nets wants $30 million a year. This is all reported.
Good luck with that.
I'm not sure what Quentin Grimes, the number that he wants, but I have to imagine it's for something similar. But the Nets, you know how much they've offered Cam Thomas? 2 for the mid-level.
Wow, man.
And the last year is a team option. 2 for $14.1 million, so 2 for 28, and the last year is a team option. And I can understand why Cam doesn't want to sign that. But the Nets have no incentive to offer anything more, and that's why I think the Warriors were last week, and you were out, so Sonny and I were talking about this, the report from Anthony Slater of ESPN that they offered him, in their mind, a fair deal. Well, compared to the Cam Thomas offer, that is a fair deal. 2 for $20, and I'm not sure if the last year would be a team or a player, or if it's just too straight up. But if you're telling me that the best offer for a restricted free agent that we have reported is 2 years, $28 million deal, and the last year's a team option, then 2 for $40 might be the best deal that Jonathan Kuminga is going to get on the market.
No doubt, and I would be, if that's true, Evan, shout out to the Stein, I would be disappointed, man. I really would. So, you know, the grass is not always greener on the other side. And I'm starting to, and you're going to laugh here, but basketball bad for Cam. But I would tell Cam, you're between a rock and a hard place. If you want to ball out or bet on yourself, what are you going to do or sign that and get the for sure money?
Well, the difference between Thomas and Kuminga is I think Thomas still would like to be in Brooklyn. I mean, he'd rather get paid somewhere else.
And he's better than Kuminga to me, too.
Well, he certainly scores. He has have the opportunity to score more.
Yeah.
Cam Thomas gets buckets, but is his team any good?
So, what about this holdup or this constipation in regard to not being able to announce if Al Horford is a Warrior? Every day I wake up, Evan, I'm like, and sometimes I'm like, oh, it's a for sure. It's just a formality. Seth Curry, like, I guess I'm asking you, you think this is how they drew it up at the chalkboard? Golden State?
No, but I think they had to be prepared for this. I think that because, again, the restricted free agent market is completely frozen. And this is why I'm bringing in other guys, because it's not just Kuminga. Giddey wants 30. Kuminga wants 30.
Man.
Thomas wants 30. And Thomas, by the way, did turn down the 2 for the mid-level number. And I understand why, but it's like neither team or neither side has to budge until October 1st, when they have to make a choice.
Man,
You know, the only difference, I think there's a minor difference in the qualifying offer. Like Josh Giddey's qualifying offer is $11 million. Kuminga's 7.9.
I wish that was fixed somehow, some way to where it couldn't drag on that long. But October, I mean, damn, we're talking about the season getting ready to start.
Yes, we are. And I think it's important they figure it out before then. But again, there doesn't appear to be much incentive to do so. Again, we're talking about... Well, we started with the Charvarius Ward piece, and we're kind of transitioning into Kuminga as far as athletes betting on themselves, having the motivation, contract years, how important it is, and how it impacts, I think, most importantly, a team. You know, do you want a player that's coming back in a prove-it mentality? Sometimes it can be good. In the case of someone like Jonathan Kuminga, I'm not sure that it would behoove the Warriors to bring him back, also because I just don't think that he wants... to be here. 888-957-9570 is the number. Getting's in for Steinmetz alongside Guru. Let's go out to Tim, who's in Raleigh, North Carolina. Tim, what's up, man? How we doing? Good afternoon.
Tim.
I'm good, guys. I'm good. What's up, Guru? What's up, Evan? Hey, man, this kid career, man, like, when you think, I know we talk about it all the time, right? But just think about what he's looking at, right? Jalen Suggs for Orlando making like 30, 35. Jalen Green, like, I think we can all probably agree, Kuminga has played more winning basketball, contributed more to winning than some of these guys he's looking at. And I don't think he wants 30, Evan. I think they said 25 was like, that was one of the most recent ones, right? This kid just, he just been screwed. He never should have got drafted here because he's looking around like, damn, like, every time he plays Jabari Smith, he completely destroys Jabari Smith, and Jabari got 5 for 125. So this kid is literally like, you know what I mean? I think, honestly, Evan, I agree with you. He gonna ride this thing to the very last minute, and Kuminga would rather go make 20 anywhere else than here because he's gonna sign for 20. He's going to get traded to somebody who knows where. You know what I mean? Like, I just think the kid, man, just getting picked on this team was just a disaster for him. I don't think he's going to play on the qualifying offer because it's just, I mean, look, even 2 for 40, after taxes, he's guaranteed 25, 30 million no matter what. But I think he's going to ride it to the very last minute because he would rather make 20 at Phoenix, where he knows he's going to start and get some run, or at Sacramento, where he knows he's going to get some run. I mean, come on, Guru. Like, when you know you're going to at least get some run, okay, give me my 20 and let me play. He's going to get 20 here, and one day he's going to be the third man, and the next day he's going to be the 12th man. And we know that's how it works.
Wow.
So it's like, I mean, if I'm him, I might as well wait to the very last minute. I'm going to walk in the room with them, you know, and I finally sign it if it's still on the table. And then if it's not on the table, you know what, the hell with it, I'll play for the qualifying. But he's already made $25 million in his life. I don't think this is some flamboyant, flashy kid who's blowing this money. He's come from the Congo. He's not used to having that in there. He's not one of those kind of kids. He doesn't come across like that. So, I mean, think about it, man. I mean, but look at him. He's sitting back. All these guys, like, the worst thing that happened to him was just coming here. I mean, look at Jalen Suggs, man. This guy barely stays on the court and is making, like, 30, 35. So, I mean, JK just kind of, he's just up it right now. You know what I'm saying? But I just think if he's going to pay for 20, he's going to stick it all the way out and just send him somewhere else and let him play for 20, honestly. Mm. So that's probably why he's in no rush, fella.
No.
You know what I mean? That's just what it is,
hey,
man.
Hey, let me, before you go, I want to throw this to you and Evan. Evan, do you think if you and Tim are right and he doesn't want to be here, it's just me on the Guru computer now, do you think he's being spiteful, dragging this out, or just letting it go as long as it, like, almost to... You know what I mean by spite? Almost like not let the Warriors handle their business to the last second.
Thanks, Tim.
By dragging this out.
No, I think the only way to get what he wants is for them to trade him. Like, if he signs a 2 for 40, it almost guarantees that he's... I don't think he's going to get traded because the Warriors are not going to be able to find much in return.
And what if what you want is not... nobody comes calling?
He has suitors. I mean, this was the other report from last week, is that Phoenix and Sacramento remain interested in him. And apparently his camp has spoken with the Kings.
Oh.
They've pitched him an idea of what his role potentially could be. You know, as they're currently constructed, I don't really know how he'd start, but maybe they would ship someone off or send someone back to Golden State. Phoenix is a team I think he might start for, probably would start for, but the Warriors, and this was also from Mark Stein last night, a part of the report that all of the restricted free agents, Kuminga included, want roughly $30 million a year. Wow. And the best offer on the table from the Warriors, as reported by Mark Stein, is 2 years and $40 million. So there's obviously a big gap. The Warriors want a first-round pick back. And the Suns do not have one to give up.
Yeah, I get it.
So that's why they're stuck, you know. And also, by the way, like, I understand to our caller's point, Tim, about someone like Suggs. Suggs makes a lot of money. But in defense of someone like Jalen Suggs, the year before he got paid in that summer, which was, I think, last season, when he started, the Magic were 43-32.
I got to give him his credit. I mean, he
started for a team that made the playoffs. Yeah. And I realize that Kuminga hasn't been afforded that opportunity, but when Kuminga has started, he hasn't impacted winning as much as someone like Jalen Suggs. Though his athletic abilities are further, he sure can score the basketball. But Suggs, I know we don't watch a lot of Orlando Magic basketball, but that guy helps them win.
Yeah, and Evan, I'm just thinking about Kuminga, and to me, the most attractive attribute at this point is his age. He's 22, and he's had some experience, but he's not a finished product. But I'm wondering, Evan, if he was deemed a shooter by other teams, would he be more attractive to him, and would more be willing to spend or splurge on him because shooting was not something he needed to work on?
Well, I think there's a lot he needs to work on.
If he shot
40% from three, I don't think we'd be having this conversation.
Well, he might still be in here.
I think he probably would have played. You know, I don't think he gets DMP'd if Kerr thinks he can knock down threes. Maybe he does. Maybe some people think he does. I don't.
I can't wait to see how this thing finishes out, man.
Well, we're going to have to find out at some point. But again, we're talking about how contracts impact players' decisions, their motivation. You know, you brought up someone like Klay Thompson off of the Charvarius Ward discussion we were having. I absolutely think that money impacted the way that Klay went about his last couple of years in Golden State. And it wasn't good for anybody. Mm. I'm not saying that it was justified, but it wasn't good for the Warriors. It wasn't good for him. And it's one of the reasons, along with his off-the-court company that he's keeping, I think he's going to be in a lot better place to have a good season this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. And again, I hate that this feels like from afar, Evan, the Warriors are just like stuck, because obviously this is a situation, a basketball situation. But the bottom line is they can't add to their team or go out and do the little things around the edges or even make announcements. Almost it feels like until this is, you know, resolved.
Yeah, and I think the 408 hopefully can provide you a little bit of solace. Boxer and Gerson, work injury attorneys, text line. The Dubs have to resolve the JK contract before they can sign Horford and or Melton. It affects the aprons of JK. It affects the aprons if JK is not signed first. Yeah, so I mean that's kind of the reason. They got to figure out where he fits in order to basically figure out where the other two fit. Like if he signed a 2-for-40 contract, yeah, I think. And within a few days, you would hear that Horford and Melton are part of the Warriors.
I got you.
And whenever this does get resolved, even if he's traded, whether he picks up the qualifying offer, I do believe that those players are signed, sealed, and delivered to Golden State. And if they're not, to me, that has nothing to do with Kuminga. That has to do with the Warriors front office not being able to get that done.
Yeah, Horford better be on his way. He better be one of those.
Oh, you don't want to see with the post starting next season?
No, I like QP3, but I need some bricks in my pocket, some goon type stuff. And I was watching again on YouTube the 2022 NBA Finals. That was 3 years ago, Evan. I get it, but Horford does some hatchet stuff. He can be down there and make some stuff happen. I know Evan allegedly is not playing back to backs, but man, we need some replacement for Looney.
We
don't have that now.
He can. All right, do you want to get into that piece of sound that you were hot on earlier?
Do.
All right, we'll do that on the other side of this break. Coming up at 4:30 this afternoon, the Valkyries take on the Atlanta Dream. You can hear the game on the Valkyries channel in the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX. Pre-game starting at 4 o'clock, all brought to you by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. How much are our contracts either ruining your experience, helping it? You know, and it's really something that applies more to the NFL and to the NBA because of the salary structure and the salary caps. But does it impact the way that you're looking at some of the players that have been involved in these conversations recently? That's what we're diving into. And we also got to get into Steve Kerr's place in this entire thing as well, because someone sounded off about it. All right, that segment was brought to you by Safeway.